So if you could grab out your phone right now and just share. If this church has been helpful to you, if Chet's sermons have been helpful, share on Facebook, text a friend, invite them in, because I think we all could use a little hope right now. Guys, we are going to be doing some big things coming up in the next couple of weeks to help people in our community, and we just want to say thank you for your generosity. Thank you for the way that you give. Thank you for the way that you serve, and thank you for making such a huge impact. There's two ways to give. The first is our Christ Church Ohio website, and the second is our Christ Church Ohio app, and if you're here, we've got a giving box on the way out. Let's just give it all to God this morning. We've had a crazy morning with technology, but no matter what the week brings, now is time to open our heart and just to engage with our awesome God. Let's worship.
My righteousness, oh God, how I need. Sorry, guys, I had my mic off. Whoop, there we go. Now we're alive. Man, I had such a great intro, too, and you missed it online. Well, we are going to be in Psalm chapter 37 today, and let me read this psalm to you, and then we will talk about it. Psalm 37, here's what it says. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, another translation says, don't be agitated. Or we could say, don't be frustrated. So if you are happy today, if you're content, if you're full of well-being and everything could not be better, then this message is not for you. You can just tune off right now and you can begin to pray for the rest of us. Would anyone appreciate some of those prayers? But if you're struggling a little bit, if you're discontent, if things are challenging right now, then this is for you. So do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious because of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. And why don't you just say that with me? Befriend faithfulness. Befriend. You guys are going to leave me hanging up here? Befriend faithfulness. Another translation of this might be feed faithfulness. Feed it. Starve, you know, some of these other qualities, but feed faithfulness in our lives. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is this idea of befriending faithfulness, feeding faithfulness in our frustration. And as I was thinking about this a few years ago, I was in trial, and the prosecutor was making their closing argument. I wasn't on trial. I was there just in the audience. And just remember, the Apostle Paul was in and out of jail, right? So throw me a bone here. But I was at this trial, and the prosecutor was making his closing arguments, and he was going through all the main lines of arguments that the defense had presented. And so he was kind of rehashing their main points that their case was built on. And he kind of summarized each of them. And for each point he summarized, he had like a big poster board that would have a graph or a picture that kind of represented that idea. And finally, he just pulled off one, and then the next poster board, it was a big red bird. And I thought, where's he going with this one? Because this wasn't like a zoology case or, you know, anything about birds, but it was just like this big red bird. And he said, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, do you know what this is? This is a red herring. And a red herring is a distraction. And a red herring is something that lawyers and other people like us use to distract you from what's most important. And he said, every point I've made that the defense has made, that's what they are. They're all red herrings. And he said, today I want you to see the truth of what we're talking about, and I don't want you to get distracted by this red herring. And that image has always stuck in my mind. I thought that was actually a pretty clever way to talk about it. And I always think in my life, what are the red herrings that are distracting me from the things that are most important? Where am I getting lost in the things that don't matter as much, that aren't as important, and missing what really is? And in Psalm 37, we see that frustration and agitation is a red herring in our life. And what it can do is it can take our energy, our focus, and our heart away from the things that matter most. Because let's be honest, frustration is pretty consuming emotion, isn't it? Frustration, it just overcomes your heart and your mind. And how many times have we just laid in bed or driven home and our mind has been consumed with being frustrated with someone else, and guess what? They don't even know what they did. They have no idea that you feel that way. And you and I, we've just spent all this energy that has done nothing good. Can I get a solid Southern amen on that point? I feel like if you haven't experienced that, then man, you should be here teaching all of us, because it's hard. That's a tough feeling. And what the psalmist is going to show us today is that instead of pouring our energy into frustration, he says to pour it into faithfulness, which is very interesting. Because here's the main point I want to share with you today. And here's what I want you to be aware of in the process, in the experience of frustration. Frustration will drive you, and it will drive me, to uproot from the places and people that God wants to plant us in. Did you all hear that? Did you receive that this morning?
Yeah.
One of us did. I'll take it. The Lord can save by many or by few. But let me say it again. Frustration, it will drive you to uproot from the places and the people that God wants to plant you in. Because what frustration will say is, I'm done. I'm over it. It's not worth it. This is too hard. It's not going to make a difference. Any of those lines of reasoning sound familiar? I'm done. I'm out. I'm moving on. And sometimes there is a time where God moves us on. There is a time where God transitions our life. But I'm not talking about those times. I'm talking about those places, those people, those communities where God says, no, I want you planted, and I want you to befriend faithfulness in your frustration and not uproot in your frustration. You with me on this, church? And so I want to talk about three aspects of this today. I want to talk about the value of faithfulness in the midst of frustration. I want to talk about the nature of it, what it looks like a little bit, and then the way to practice it in our life. So the value of it, the nature of it, and the way to practice it. And let's just first talk about the value of it. God says in Psalm 37, don't be agitated by evildoers. Don't be frustrated with the people and the circumstances around you. But he said, instead, and we looked at these first two weeks ago, trust in the Lord and do good. Remember those? Yeah? Some of us? Anybody online remember those? Please make a preacher happy this morning. Yep, I know you got that. It's memorized on your heart. But we talked about those, and now today I want to talk about this third one. Befriend faithfulness. God says this is a response, a healthy response to frustration. And why is faithfulness a great response? Well, the first and most obvious reason is that God values that quality. God values people who stay true to their word. God values people whose yes means yes. God values people who say, hey, these are my people in life, and I'm committed to them. For better or worse, they might drive me crazy some days, but they're my people, and I'm with it till the end. I'm going to get frustrated, but I'm not going to uproot. I'm going to just figure out how to work through it. You with me on this? And God values that quality in our souls. Let me show this to you in a way that speaks deeply to me. It's Psalm 15. If you want to turn there in the scripture, or if you want to pull it up on Google, or Ask Jeeves, or anybody remember that? Dave, you remember that? Yeah. That was a thing, like right when the internet began. Psalm 15. Listen to the power of this text here. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? So here's the writer, and he's asking God, who do you want to hang out with? I don't know if you've ever thought about that before, but who does the Lord like hanging out with? You know, there's certain groups we like hanging out with, and certain groups that kind of rub us the wrong way. And so the psalmist says, Lord, what's your preference? And here's what it is, verse 2. He who walks blamelessly and does what is right. So the person who's trying to live right in God's sight, God says, that's who I want to hang with. Who speaks truth in his heart, who's not deceptive or a liar, who does not slander with his tongues, who's not always bashing other people and talking bad about people, who does no evil to his neighbor. They're not, you know, they don't have a secret manipulative agenda, nor takes up reproach against his friend. They have their back. They're loyal people, and whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. And then here's the verse I want you to see. who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Who swears to his own hurt. In other words, someone who is willing to fulfill the commitments they made, even when sometimes it's not advantageous. That makes sense. They swear to their own hurt. They're saying, okay, man, it's getting tough to continue to fulfill what I said I was going to do, but I'm still going to do it, even if it's costly. And what Psalm 15 says is that's the type of person God wants to hang around. And I don't know about you, but I want to be the type of person that God wants to hang out with. I want more of God's presence in my life, not less. I know I have to be terribly annoying to God already, and I want to be a little less as I grow older. Anybody with me on that? I know I'm already super annoying. I want to be a little less. And he says, someone who swears to their own hurt. A couple weeks ago, our National Guard units, they've been doing the food banks and serving our communities during COVID-19. And the one of our units was having a cookout to kind of celebrate all the hard work of the staff and volunteers and soldiers. And so they invited me to it. And I said, yeah, I'll come to this cookout. It was a Friday afternoon. And by the day time that Friday came, it was kind of a busy day for me. So ended up having a couple, you know, fires to put out. And kind of by the time I realized I needed to leave for that cookout, I realized I would only be able to make it for a half hour. And then it was done. And it was about a 45-minute drive. And then I had another 45-minute drive or so just to get back home. So I was sitting there, and I was just thinking, I'm not going. Amen? I'm going to drive 45 minutes for a half an hour, then I'm going to drive back 45 minutes. No one cares if I show up. They just, you know, you ever get a sympathy invite? It's like you're standing there, and I invited the person next to you, so now I have to invite you. So anybody? Am I the only one that experiences that? Hey, God, invite the pastor. Maybe God will give me a flat tire if I don't. And I felt like that's what it was. No one was going to care. I have nothing to contribute. I wasn't bringing cupcakes or anything like that. And I thought, they probably don't even remember that they invited me because it was like 2 weeks ago. And so all that is running through my mind. And I'm like, I can just go home right now. Save myself like an hour and a half, a waste of time, and we'll be good to go. But then this psalm came to my mind. And the Holy Spirit's like, how long are you going to be an idiot? I don't know. That's my interpretation of what the voice of the Lord sounds like in my life. I hope it's very gracious to you. But dude, what kind of man are you going to be? You said you would go. I said, yeah, I know I said, Lord, but they don't care. I don't care. Can we just, can I get home early? It's Friday, right? Who doesn't love getting home early on a Friday? And eventually, just out of the sheer, I wasn't going to say that, Kathy, but you're right. But I just said, all right, I'm going to go. And guess what? I showed up. No one cared. I stayed for 25 minutes. Nothing magical happened. But, I did leave, and I felt like, at least I was more who God wants me to be. I said I would go, and I went. It didn't make a whole lot of sense, but what does make sense is that I was becoming more of who God wanted me to be. You with me on this? And that's, I think, what Psalm 37 is calling us towards today. And so the value might not be what you get out from your commitment, but it's who you become from your commitment. Did you hear that one? It might not be what you get. It might not always be, I didn't go there and then 100 people got saved. I went there, sweated in the hot sun, and went home, and that was all that happened, but it helped me to be a little bit more, I believe, of who God is calling me to be. And that's the value of faithfulness. And now let's talk about the nature of it for a minute. What is faithfulness? That's kind of a word we use a lot in the church or in the scriptures, but it's just a word that means commitment. That we commit to people and places, and we say we're in. It means we're dependable. Our word is our bond. Our yes means yes, and our no means no, which I think sometimes that's an area to grow in too. Anybody have a hard time saying no sometimes? Yeah, me too. But you know what? That's part of it. And if there's people in our lives that can't respect our no, then honestly, they shouldn't have a tremendous access to our life. Because we all need boundaries. We all need margins. We all need to look at our life and say, what's the best way I can use it for the Lord? And that means sometimes you have to say no to the good so you can say yes to the great. You with me on this? And that's all part of it. And being that type of person is what faithfulness looks like. Faithfulness is the type of quality also that you get all the benefits on the back end, not the front end. Right? You cannot Amazon Prime the blessings of faithfulness. All right, I'm gonna be faithful for like a day, and it's going to be here tomorrow. It's going to have blue tape over it, and I'm good to go. Isn't it amazing how Allie and I, anybody order a lot of stuff on Amazon? Yeah, we do too. And now, if it's not Prime, I'm like, that's disgusting. How could you, 6 days to get this? I need it tomorrow. What is up with, isn't that, we're messed up. Would you turn to the person next to you and say, we're messed up? And then say back to them, you're messed up. And let's start a little fight here. No, I'm just kidding. It's our world doesn't help us, let's say. Our world doesn't help us in developing the quality of faithfulness. Because everything is instant. Any DoorDash fans? I mean, now fast food, you don't even have to go to a drive-thru. It comes to you. What's next? I love it, though. I can't lie. Everything is so quick, but here's faithfulness. You pay the price up front, but the blessings later are so much greater. Here's what I believe for your life and my life. The most challenging commitments in our life will yield the greatest blessings. No one grows without being rooted. No one grows by just floating around in life. We grow through our commitments, right? We commit to each other in marriage, and we say through the good days and through the bad days, right? Through sickness and health, through disease, and I guess that's the same thing I just said, through poverty and wealth, right? That's what we're saying up front. We're saying we're in it. And we know that the blessings come through staying in it, through the tough times. We commit to our children. We say, listen, we're going to be there for you. Sometimes I might want to lock you in the basement for a week, but I still love you. And the blessings come later. You with me on this? See, we go to the gym, and we work out one day. Lord, I'm still at the same weight. I'm done. This isn't what that commercial said. It said 3 minutes a day, and I would be good to go. We pray for a couple days in a row. Say, well, I'm still not closer to God. I guess this doesn't really work. But that's not how faithfulness works, right? It's a small commitment every day that we keep coming back to. See, what faithfulness looks like sometimes is very ordinary and very routine. It's not always glamorous. I know you and I, we want glamorous results in our life, and there's nothing wrong with it. We want to be changed physically, spiritually, emotionally, right? We want to prepare for our future in every way. We want big results. But can I tell you that the big results come from the small daily decisions? The small daily investments. And if you want God to do something big in your life today, and if I want God to do something big in my life today, maybe the way that that happens is through today doing something so small that it almost feels pointless. such an easy, tiny start that you think, well, how could this lead to anything? Lord, we went to counseling once. Why isn't our marriage better? This is a sham. I quit. And the Lord says, well, why don't you go back again? Lord, I was nice once. I did the dishes once. And still, our marriage is fractured. The Lord says, well, why don't you try it twice? And then three times. You with me on this? Allie, don't be commenting on here. Why don't you just tune out for a couple minutes and come back in? And but that's what faithfulness looks like, right? It looks ordinary. And in fact, it looks so ordinary that sometimes we don't realize that's where the real power is in our lives. See, I believe what you do every day on just those ordinary days will actually determine our futures in the most real ways, in the most powerful ways. And so here's what the psalmist is saying. Listen to the wisdom of this. He says, take that energy of frustration. And instead of maybe looking at other people and saying, oh man, they're failing me, they're flakes, they're unjust, they're getting away with it, instead of just pouring all that energy there, pour it into a faithfulness that can change your life and your community and your relationships one small moment at a time. You with me on this, church? I think it's genius. I think the scriptures are incredibly wise, and I think this is a great time to practice this idea during COVID-19, during these frustrating times, during these times where so much of our daily lives is being impacted, and people are doing things that frustrate us and drive us crazy. That's out of our control, but here's something in our control that we can focus on. So let me talk to you quickly about the way. How do we become more faithful? Well, let me just give you four ideas. Number one, I want you to fall in love with process instead of outcomes. And what that means is I want you to not worry about the outcomes of our life, all our big goals, the things that we want to see happen. Instead, I want you to really focus intently on the process of every day. Am I spending time with God today? Am I investing in the relationships closest to me today? Am I taking care of myself emotionally and physically? Am I serving in my community in some way? And I want you to focus on the process and then trust God that He'll take care of the outcome. Because I believe that God can take our small efforts and over time multiply them into something really, really huge. But you know what? Many times we uproot our small efforts too soon because we're frustrated. And there's never the time for God to create the big change. You with me on this? So fall in love with process. Fall in love with the ordinary disciplines that make a healthier and a meaningful life. Here's the second thing. Figure out where God is calling you to commit to. What are the people? What are the places? What are the communities that God says, I want you to drive your roots down into this place, and I want you to be there to serve those people, to love those people, and to make it better through the good and the bad. I know one thing that I've found in my own life is that I like to make loose commitments just in case something better comes along. Anybody, you guys are going to leave me hanging on that one. You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, what's going on this weekend? Hey, you want to come over? Yeah, that sounds good. But what else could be out there? You know, maybe Guns N' Roses is coming into town and I don't know about it, you know, and somebody's going to give me a backstage pass. I don't know. I want to just keep that window open. You guys are judging me so bad right now. Hopefully, does anyone online, have you ever found that in your life? Silence there too. Well, some of us might have a problem with commitment at times, that we want to keep our options open. But I want to just challenge you to say, we grow through our commitments. We grow through commitment. We grow through commitment. Who are the places? Who are the people? Who are the communities? Man, I'm committed to this church. I feel this is where God has called me. So unless you guys fire me, I'm going to be hanging out because I feel like this is where God has planted me. You with me on this? And we have to decide, we have to figure out where God has planted us. And here's the thing, it's not always going to be easy. It's going to be frustrating. It's going to be annoying. There's going to be good times, great times, and there's going to be challenging times. But we grow through our commitments. So where are we committing to? Who are we committing to? Who are the people in your life that you're just saying, you know what, I'm going to be their friend? You have any people that you're like, man, they're crazy, but I still love them? And you know what? There's probably people that say that about you. Oh, pastor, how dare you? They're committed to us through our ups and downs. And I think one of the best things we can do is people that just say, I'm committed to you. I'm not going to just divorce you from my life because we disagree. I think there's a big myth today that unless we agree 100% on everything and every issue, we can't have a relationship. But you know what? I don't agree with myself 100% of the time. Do I want Chipotle or do I want McDonald's? You know, I go back and forth, right? We change opinions and thoughts, and hopefully as we grow, we continue to change and see things differently and learn and incorporate that into how we understand things around us. And we cannot create such a rigid form of friendship and commitment to each other that unless we are 100% on everything, there can't be a relationship. Because you know what? Then I think we actually deprive each other. And here's the deal. You don't see everything. Your view is not 100% truth. Yeah, I know. And neither is mine. Guess whose view is 100%? Only God's. The mind of Jesus Christ is 100%. And all of us are going to continue to need to change and grow. And sometimes the way God does that is bringing people into our life who see things and understand things differently. And there's a huge blessing to it. But you know what? There's friction that can come in that. And commitment has to be there for us to be able to get the blessing of it. So where is God planting you? I remember about 10 years ago or so, I started working at the church when I was 19. And felt God's call in my life and had the opportunity to come on staff. And I worked for about 7 years, but at about that 7 or 8 year mark, I just felt frustrated. And here's a lot of the reasons, kind of as I look back now. I think I was frustrated because I saw all my friends go away to college and have these great experiences. And I was like, well, I'm home serving the Lord, sacrificing, kind of making my life harder, and these guys are having the time of their life. And it was one of those things. You ever feel like you're giving a lot, but the benefits aren't quite there? And that wasn't true, but that's the mindset that I had gotten into. You with me on this? And so I felt frustrated. I felt like I had my commitment to God into ministry had made me miss out on a lot of things. And that's where I was at. And then that frustration just kind of began to grow, and I began to just kind of be frustrated with everything and everyone. And do you ever notice in life when you're frustrated with everyone, it's probably not everyone, but you don't know it? You know, you're still like, no, it's everyone. Well, isn't that odd that everyone is bothering you? If you're watching today and you've just been mad at everybody, it might be you. It's okay though, we all get there. We've all been there. And that's where I was. And so here's what happened. Here's the danger that this message is all about. I left the church. I left my role. I stepped down and I stepped away for about a year or so. And when I did it, I knew I was uprooting from the place God had planted me in. You with me on this? I knew it, but I couldn't process my frustration the right way. And honestly, sometimes uprooting is just the easier way. It's just the easier way, isn't it? Sometimes quitting, just it's easier. Because when you stay, you got to work through stuff. When you stay, God often demands that you grow. When you stay, you can't just keep making excuses. You got to step up to the plate. You with me on this? And I didn't really want to do that. So I uprooted. And in my heart, I knew that God was saying, man, I want you planted here. And by the grace of God, you know, I was able to come back to the church. And I was able to be planted. And I was able to be part of West Campus and meet all you amazing people. And yes. And I'm telling you that for two reasons. One, I want you to see how dangerous it can be. I want you to learn from my mistakes and my failures. Because if you are going to be serious about serving God and you're going to be planted in service to him, you're going to face these moments. Psalm 37, it's going to make sense to you. You're going to feel it in a real way. And I want you to know, when you feel it, befriend faithfulness. Lean into your calling. Be more planted. Let your roots go down deeper. Don't pull them up. Let them go down deeper. Because God's greatest blessings will be on the other side of that commitment. You with me on this? And I also want you to know this too, that even when we cut out too early, even when we fail in our commitments, even when maybe some of us, man, we've turned our back on God and we've left him. Maybe some of us are tuning in right now and you're like, man, that's my story. I've been running away from him. I know he's there. I know I need to go back, but I've just chosen to go away. Here's what I want you to know. He still loves you. He is still faithful to you and to me, even when we're not faithful to him. Here's what's so different about the Lord than you and me, is that when we are unfaithful to him, it doesn't change anything in his heart towards you. When you and I, when we turn our back, when we fail, when we flake out, when we just say, Lord, I can't do this anymore, and we hit eject, guess what he says? I'm still here. I'm still for you. There's still opportunity. There's still a new day. I don't want you to sit right now, and I don't want you to think about your regrets. Because you know what? There is grace for those. There is forgiveness for those. And today is a new day. And today is a day where we can look at the faithfulness of God in each of our lives. And we can say, Lord, you didn't give up on me. Now, Lord, I'm not going to give up on you. When you were going to the cross, everyone flaked out on you. You ever read the story? It says they forsook him and fled. But guess what? He kept going. And he kept going for them. He kept going for you. It was their forgiveness. It was their reconciliation that he was going to do. And they forsook him, just like we do. But he remains faithful to the calling and the purpose of God. And I want to respond to that this morning by giving him the full commitment of my heart. I want to respond today by saying, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm in. Wherever you want me to go, whatever people you want me to love and serve, whatever work that you have for me, I'm in. Lord, you've never forsaken me. And God, by your strength and by your help, let me never forsake you. If you want to say that prayer with me this morning, would you just stand and let me pray for you? If you're watching online, you can stand where you're at. You can bow your heads. If we just open our hands just to receive as a sign that we want to receive from God help to be more committed people. We want to receive from God grace. Grace that we know he's never left us. He's never forsaken us. Now, could we be that kind of people? Heavenly Father, we open our hands as a sign of opening our hearts to you. Father, we want to receive from you this morning grace to be people of deep loyalty who swear to their own hurt. Father, let our yes always be yes. Let our no always be no. And Father, whatever you call us to do, wherever it is, with whoever it is, may we set our face like flint and never turn back. And Father, may we trust that if we are steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, our labor will not be in vain. Father, any commitment to you is never wasted. It's never a waste of time and effort and energy. It always produces something good and something beautiful. Help us now, Lord. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. We love you so much, Christ Church. We just want to let you know, if you need us, here. Feel free to email us, text us, call us, because we want to help. We want to be by your side. We love you, and we hope you have an amazing week. God bless.